are listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Jonathan Capehart here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org. In New York, lively and interesting conversation is a pastime. Some might even go so far as to call it religion here. But if you want to elicit a strong reaction right off the bat, bring up the subject of pigeons. Courtney Humphreys wanted to know exactly how pigeons came to be so despised in modern culture. That's exactly what she talks about in her new book, Super Dove, How the Pigeon Took Manhattan and the World. The book is published by HarperCollins. I'm pleased it brings her to the show. Thanks very much, Courtney, for being here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Super Dove? are the pigeons hanging out in Washington Square Park and Tompkins Square Park and Bryant Park and all the parks in the city, are they really super doves, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I wanted to take a different look at pigeons. And, you know, we often think of them as, you know, pests, as just these very common urban birds. But I was interested in seeing their story as a success story. I mean, they live all over the world. They inhabit every continent except Antarctica. They're in cities all over the world. And, you know, I just started thinking about how this happened and looking at it as kind of a success story.
Mm-hmm. How did they talk about, I mean, I didn't know anything about pigeons until I was reading your book. And it's fascinating. Where did they come from?
Well, originally, I mean, their common name is rock pigeon or rock dove. And that their native home is on cliff sides, mostly along coasts. They originally came from the Middle East, Northern Africa, Europe.
Like the Mediterranean.
Yeah, around the Mediterranean. And, you know, what happened was they became domesticated very early. They're one of the first birds to be domesticated thousands of years ago. So they have this long history with people, and people have taken them all over the world.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost like a symbiotic relationship, isn't it? I mean, the pigeons, and I loved how you wrote about how pigeons left the cliffs and went to live with humans, basically, because they had these homes that had food.
Yes, yeah. People
wanted the pigeons to come sort of live with them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pigeons, you know, people used pigeons for food. And so it was actually really convenient to have pigeons around because, you know, it's really, you could just kill a few pigeons, you know, to get some protein. So it was actually, you know, a lot of people wanted to keep pigeons around. They built buildings just for pigeons to live in. And the pigeons, you know, it just so happens that the buildings make great cliffs, you know, for pigeons. So having started off in rocky cliff sides, they really like being in buildings. So and they also they eat grain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people from our earliest societies had, you know, based our civilization around agriculture. So pigeons had plenty of food in agricultural fields. Even in the cities, you know, they can get bread and things like that. So cities have provided a lot for pigeons.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, what's the difference between pigeon and, say, a chicken?
A chicken? Well,
because you talk about this in the book.
Yeah.
But, I mean, both are eaten, although I have not eaten pigeon or squab, which mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you about because you have.
Yes.
But what's the difference between pigeon and chicken or as animals?
As animals, well, you know, I mean, what I looked at in the book was why, you know, I just sort of wondered, you know, why if pigeons have been, both pigeons and chickens were domesticated, you know, really early in our history. So I kind of wondered, you know, why have chickens ended up being, you know, chicken nuggets and you know, chickens in every supermarket and kind of the basis of our diet, but pigeons aren't. And, you know, one reason, obviously, is pigeons are smaller, so they're just, there's a little less meat, you know, there. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is chickens are just really, they're made for mass production. I mean, the chickens, you know, they lay these eggs. The chicks hatch and they're ready to go. They can be carried off. They don't need to be parented at all. Whereas pigeons, they actually get parented for about a month by both parents. Both parents feed the babies, the chicks.
You say they secrete this milk-like substance.
Yeah, it's called crop milk, and it actually is something they eat, and then they secrete it out of, you know, the kind of regurgitated
through the beak.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting, but both parents, both the males and the females do this, and they feed the chicks that way early in life, and it just helps them. They don't have to be going out bringing food back for the chicks. They can regurgitate this stuff for them. Mm-hmm. So it's, but so pigeons have a lot of, they get a lot of nurturing early in life, and so they're not ready to go the way chickens are.
And it's interesting because you say that, and this is a wonderful word, fecundity, of the pigeon. I mean, they reproduce. They're like rabbits with wings. I mean, they're constantly reproducing, but yet, as you wrote in the book, a chicken can lay 200 eggs in a year, but a pair of pigeons could nurture maybe 12.
Right. Yeah. And so that's the thing there. You know, pigeons, you can't, they're not the kind of setup where you can just have this mass production. They're definitely more of a niche kind of food. You know, there are pigeon farms where a lot of pigeons are kept, but it's not the same kind of efficiency that you have with chickens. So I think that's, you know, kind of why they've never taken off the same way that pigeon has, I guess.
No pun intended. I'm Jonathan Capehart in for Leonard Lopate, and talking with Courtney Humphreys about her fun book, Super Dove, How the Pigeon Took Manhattan and the World. So what's the difference between the pigeons who were brought here, I guess, I think it was 1600 or so, what's the difference between those pigeons and the ones we see in the parks today?
Well, you know, pigeons were brought here for food. So they were domesticated birds, brought in cages. And what's happened is that over time, pigeons have gone from being mostly domesticated to being mostly what we call feral, you know, which is an animal that was domesticated and has gone back to the wild. You know, in this case, the wild to them is these cities, because they still live, you know, they live close to people. They like to live around people. They get a lot from us. Yeah, that we have food and we have shelter. Mm-hmm. I mean, there aren't a lot of cliff sides all over the, you know, the mm-hmm. country that they can go live on. But So yeah, what's happened, so these birds, but they still have, you know, even though they're living wild, they still have qualities of domesticated birds, which is kind of where the super dove idea comes in. We actually gave pigeons a lot of qualities that helps make them successful in cities. And so they're a little bit of our own creation.
What do you mean by that?
Well,
we've given them qualities.
Well, which, you know, if you think about a domesticated animal, I mean, they're bred for certain qualities. You know, one is to have to breed all the time. You know, mm-hmm. you want production. You know, you want a productive animal that's going to have, you know, lots of babies. And so that's one of the reasons why they can breed year round in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than just in the spring or something, which is sort of the, you know, the traditional time. And they also need to have a lot of ability to tolerate enclosed environments, to tolerate big populations, crowds. You know, the domesticated birds have to be really hardy. They have to be kind of disease resistant so they can live in, you know, enclosed areas and farms and stuff. And so you have these really hardy birds and that can tolerate all these large populations that they're producing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they have to have a lot of tolerance for people, which is something that pigeons definitely have in cities. You know, they can, you know, we all see them walking across the street, not even paying attention to traffic, not even worrying about people. And so that helps them a lot living in cities.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting a lot of pro-pigeon comments on our show page, WNYC.org. And, you know, in the book, you talk about, I mean, a lot of people look at pigeons, as Woody Allen said in the movie, you know, they're rats with wings. But pigeons have a very strong and big following. I mean, those pigeons we see on the streets are just one type of pigeon. I mean, they're actually kind of like show pigeons.
Yeah. There are pigeons there are special breeds of pigeons that are kept and raised basically just for show.
Fancy pigeons.
Yeah. And, you know, it's called the pigeon fancy. And this has been around for hundreds of years. Some of these breeds are very old. And, you know, they're still shown. I went to a lot of pigeon shows and they're really fun to go to because these pigeons don't even look like pigeons. I mean, they're all different shapes and sizes, colors, you know, feathers in all different places. I mean, they you know, they're pretty crazy birds. But a lot of people keep them. A lot of people keep homing pigeons, which they can race. You know, mm-hmm. these birds, you can take them away hundreds of miles from their homes. They find their way back. You know, and a lot of people even like street pigeons. So,
well, yes, judging judging by some of the comments, yes, they do. There's a picture on page 47 mm-hmm. of Modena or Modena? How's that?
Modena. Well, they call them Modena, yeah.
Modena, the bird of curves. And yes. I wish I could describe the way this bird looks, but
it's kind of like if you crossed a pigeon with a hen or something.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a foghorn leghorn, the chicken from the Looney Tunes cartoons is what he looks like. Now let's talk about something because we're almost out of time, but I cannot mm-hmm. let you go without talking about your meal. Now you know, you're studying pigeons, you're getting to know them, and you and I believe you and your fiance.
Yeah, well, he's my husband. Now
your husband yeah. went and decided to have squab, or as the mm-hmm. waiter said, pigeon.
Right. Yeah, he was. He was trying to kind of make it sound fancy for me. And of course, I knew what it was. It was a pigeon. But yeah, squab has been a delicacy in a lot of different cultures, and it's very good. I was a little hesitant because, you know, having been watching pigeons, and you know, I was a little worried I'd feel bad about eating one. But it turned out to be very good. So mm-hmm. so I got over it.
You know what I want you to do? Because I thought this was great. Would you mind reading the last part, the dish arrived?
Okay. The dish arrived. It wasn't a whole squab as I feared, but an assortment of small browned legs and thighs atop a mushroom puree with purple rice, stir-fried wild mushrooms, and some wild native vegetable I'd never heard of, all coated in a soy-based sauce. I took my knife and sectioned out a piece of thigh, exposing the vermilion meat beneath. I nudged a little mushroom puree on it for good measure and brought the bite to my mouth. The meat was rich, not fatty like duck or bland like chicken. My qualms vanished. I now had a better grasp of why people bothered to take these birds across continents and oceans. They were delicious.
I mean, I read that and I thought, maybe not, but maybe I would try. Now, there are a couple of questions before I let you go. Mm-hmm. How many pigeons are there in New York?
Oh, that's a great question, and I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you. I mean, there are so many, and it actually is very difficult to figure out the number of pigeons. You have to have people counting every day, and you can never actually know the exact number.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd find that person who's always leaving the breadcrumbs
right,
that magically appear.
They could probably give you an estimate.
And where do they go at night?
They have nests, and, you know, this was actually one of the fun things I did was try to find all these nests, because you see them all during the day and you wonder where they go, but a lot of the nests are tucked away. I found a lot under air conditioners. I found them, you know, in little ledges, all different little nooks and crannies of the city.
Mm-hmm. I've been speaking with Courtney Humphreys about her new book. Thanks, Courtney, for being here, about her new book, Super Dove, How the Pigeon Took Manhattan and the World, published by HarperCollins. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.